Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pashtatya Deshatarane Trinadapi Sunichena Tarar Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Before I begin speaking, I always recite this mantra because it is the essence of spiritual consciousness. One should always remain meek and humble, more tolerant than a tree, especially on hot days. I should give respect to all others, not be concerned about what others respect or not respect. In such a state of mind, one can easily always chant the holy name. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam Kalau Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. If you want to make spiritual progress in this age, then the only way, the only way, the only way is to chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So one of the sponsors, the family, Biswas family, is doing so in memory of Dr. Ghosh. Dr. Ghosh was very, very kind to me. When I used to have my office down two, three buildings down, Dr. Ghosh would regularly come and see me, and we would discuss many things, sometimes argue. But it was done very, very lovingly. We would discuss Chaitanya Charitamrita. He would ask me questions sometimes. But we had a very, very beautiful relationship like father and son. I very much miss Dr. Ghosh because he was such a wonderful Vaishnava. He was in the Nambarka Sampradaya. And he was a very good, kind friend. So I'd like to dedicate tonight's class in memory of my good friend, Dr. Ghosh. Let us chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So when I was chanting, I was remembering the opening scene of Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna requests his good friend Krishna, please take my chariot in the midst of both the armies so I may see who has come here to fight. So when you sit on the Vyasasana, it's the same thing. Let me see who has come here. Of course you haven't come to fight. But you have to know who you're speaking to. Because, for instance, in the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit is asking questions to Shukadeva Goswami, and Shukadeva Goswami is congratulating Parikshit for the caliber of the questions he's asking. And we see that even within the Bhagavatam, Vidura is questioning Maitreya, and Maitreya feels enlivened by, oh, these are very good questions. So there is a relationship between speaker and audience. And the art, you could say, is my job is to figure out, okay, who am I speaking to? Different audiences will create a different level. Now, this is, of course, New Dwarka. In the opinion of a very good sannyasi friend that I have, his name is Dhanavir Das Goswami, he tells me, is his opinion, this is the best temple in North America. So, give yourselves a hand. So, this is New Dwarka. The caliber, the ante is a little high. I've said many, many times. I've lectured all over the world. This is the toughest place to speak in. This is the roughest. If you can do it here, like they say, if you can make it in New York, you can make it, well, I'm from New York, so. But if you can make it in New Dwarka, then you can preach anywhere in the world. So, New Dwarka, you rock. For Krishna, of course. Let's chant the Maha Mantra one more time. Earlier, I was in the restaurant, and my good friend Gopal, he said, what are you going to talk about tonight? I said, I have no idea. I'll wait till I get on the seat, and let's see what comes out. So I was looking at Rukmini Dwarkadish during the kirtan, and I was like almost stunned how beautiful Rukmini looks today. Today, Rukmini looks so beautiful. When I was leading the kirtan, I was like stunned. Wow. Rukmini Dwarkadish, the most famous, most beautiful deities in all the world. Rukmini Dwarkadish ki. So, at some point in the kirtan, the verse came to me. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, which is entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge, verse number 2. A verse which we call a happy text. Because there's some negative text. People think it's negative. But there's also the happy text. So let's get absorbed in verse number 2. Are you ready? Say Hari Bol. So the first word, please repeat. Radya Vidya. That means the king of education. So Bhagavad Gita is teaching knowledge. And here Krishna is informing us that what is being explained in... Oh, you're going to follow along? Very good. Excellent. Chapter 9, verse 2. This is what you call serious students. Excellent. So, the king of education. Now, of course, if you study Bhagavad Gita, you understand that there's two kinds of education. Temporary, material education, which you have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars if you want your material education with your certificate, which you put on the wall, right? Then there's spiritual or transcendental education. That's what you get here, and it's free. Amazing. For a temporary material education, pay, 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 pay. Spiritual education, just enter any one of Prabhupada's temples, sit down, learn something. Just by hearing, you can amass great jewels of knowledge. So Krishna is saying, this is the king of education, topmost. Okay, now let's go to the next word. Please repeat, Raja Guhyam, the king of confidential knowledge. So, confidential knowledge means, actually, you have to be qualified for confidential knowledge. What is that qualification? Let's refer, if you want, chapter 4, verse number 3. In chapter 4, verse number 3, Krishna stipulates why he's speaking this knowledge to Arjuna. Now, if he's speaking to Arjuna, that means he's also speaking to you. Arjuna is just a target. Arjuna already knows all this stuff, but he's just playing a role in the drama. But actually, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is actually speaking to you. So in this third verse of chapter 4, you'll find the line, Bhakto si me sakha cheti. Do you see that? I think it's line number 3. Do you see? Bhakto si me sakha cheti. Do you see that? You found it. Everyone say, Bhakto si me sakha eti. So Krishna says, here is the two qualifications for understanding and receiving this confidential knowledge. You have to be Krishna's devotee and his friend. So, you wouldn't be here if you at least didn't have that inclination. So, how many of you are chanting Krishna's holy name on a regular basis? You're Krishna's devotee. At least according to Lord Chaitanya, that's what he says. What's a devotee? Someone who chants the holy name. Prove it. Prove it to me that you're devotees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, All right, so we got a house of devotees. Very good. Now the next thing, friend. Are you Krishna's friend? If you're a friend of someone, well, that means you like him or her, and you're favorable, and you're well-wisher, and, you know, you're always looking to see what can I do for my friend. Now, the thing is, since Krishna's God, and he's got everything, what are you going to get him? Ah, there's only one thing Krishna wants from your friendship. How many of you want to be Krishna's friend? All right. If you want, Gopal, you didn't raise your hand. Oh, okay. After all, you got Krishna's name. So, if you want to be Krishna's friend, and since he already has everything, the only thing that he wants from you is your love. This is what I love about Krishna consciousness. It's all about love. Now, it's not hard to love Krishna. He's not an old man with a beard, right? He's not some guy in a chair with a blank face. You see some religions, that's their conception. I used to get them all the time. I'd go out on book distribution. People would come, here, take this. And I open it, and there was God on a chair, blank face. I go, I can't love that. I can't worship Casper the Friendly Ghost. But here, look how beautiful Rukmini Krishna are, huh? Is it hard to love? And of course, they're just statues, right? How many of you think they're just statues? Are you worshiping idols? I'm not worshiping. Are you worshiping idols? Some people think we're worshiping idols, don't they? But you're not worshiping. We're worshiping God, Radha Krishna, the most beautiful. Look, Krishna is smiling on you, right? He's giving you blessings. So it's not hard to be Krishna's friend. He's nice. And if you read his life story, he's cool. He blows your mind. The things that it's. He only married 16,108 wives. Oh, my God. That's all? Yeah. He's renounced, Prabhu. So it's not hard to be Krishna's friend. He's all attractive. We make friendships because we find someone attractive. They have good looks, got a little money on the side. They're talented. They're strong. There's different things that Krishna's got them all. Krishna has all the opulences to an unlimited degree. What's there not to like about Krishna and be his friend? So, this is the qualification if you want to receive this confidential knowledge, to become Krishna's devotee and Krishna's friend. Can you do that? All right, let's go further. Next word, pavitram, the purest. So the knowledge that you get from Bhagavad Gita, there is no fault, there is no contamination, no inebriety, it's pure, completely pure. Just like the sun, right? Today you can appreciate the power of the sun. It's all giving its rays of light to everyone, and the sun is so powerful that any impure thing that comes in contact with the sun purifies, right? And the sun does not get contaminated. In the olden days, my mother would do the laundry and then she would hang out everything on the clothesline outside, and the wind and the sun, we were poor, we didn't have a dryer. But we had a washing machine, and even if we did have a dryer, it usually broke after the first week. So my mother would hang the clothes out, and the sun and the wind would dry the clothes, and then you would get the clothes that would have this beautiful, because we didn't have so much pollution back there. It was in the 50s. It's not as polluted as it is now. You would smell the clothes. It's such a nice fragrance from the sun and the wind. Even Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, of purifiers, I am the wind. Why do you think dogs hang their head out in the car? They know that. See, even they know something of Bhagavad Gita. So this Bhagavad Gita, so there's two things about Krishna. You learn this in the Ishopanishad. How many of you have read Ishopanishad? Very good. Everyone should read Prabhupada's Ishopanishad. Muy importante libro. Very, very important book. If you don't have it, here's Vijay. He'll make sure you get Ishopanishad. I don't know if any of you don't know, Vijay is the minister of book distribution for all of ISKCON. And he is most expert. He has distributed millions of this Bhagavad Gita. So he's very, very potent. So any book you want, you go to Vijay. He'll take care of you. And his rates are very reasonable. So in the Ishopanishad, it explains that Krishna has two amazing features. One of which is any impure thing that comes in contact with Krishna, he purifies. And at the same time, Krishna himself can never become contaminated. So he's got it covered on both ends. He's able to purify anyone, and even if he comes in contact with any impure thing, he purifies it and he doesn't get contaminated. Take, for instance, the Ganges. All of you from India know the Ganges is purifying. But it is a fact, and it's stated in the Shastras. After some time, the Ganga becomes overwhelmed with all the sinful reactions people have deposited. Sinful people go to the Ganges and they leave their sinful reactions. She absorbs it. But after some time, she becomes overwhelmed. So the question is, what does Ganga do? Ah, Krishna has an arrangement. When a great Mahabhagavat devotee comes, he rearranges and the Ganges again becomes full of her purifying potency. Krishna has everything arranged nicely. But in the case of Krishna, he's so powerful like the sun. No amount of contamination can affect him. Therefore, Krishna is antiseptic and prophylactic. Prabhupada uses those terms in the Ishopanishad. So these words of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, they purify you. Just right like you two ladies, you have the book, you're touching it, you're becoming purified. You're hearing the Bhagavad Gita, you're getting purified. And the more that you, and Vijay knows, Prabhupada used to say, when devotees go out and distribute the books, Prabhupada said, even if they just touch the book, they're getting delivered from so much sin. Even if it, what to speak of, they read one word. I'll tell you a very funny story. There's another devotee here who has been distributing Prabhupada's books for well over 35, maybe 40 years. Bhrigupati Das. You all know Bhrigupati Das? So one time, back in the day, in the 70s, I was with Bhrigupati Das in New York. Forget about it. We were in Columbia University. We were distributing Prabhupada's books at a concert. And it was, I forget who the guy was, I think Harry Chapin, he was the big star then. So we're trying to distribute the book in the concert to the crowd goers. So we go to the back of the auditorium, Bhrigupati says, Nacha Prabhu, I'm going to distribute a book to Harry Chapin. I said, no, don't do that. No, don't. He goes, and there he is, right in the middle of the concert. The guy's singing on stage, he's got, you know, the place is packed. He walks right up the aisle, right to the guy, stops the concert, and you know, he's on a stage, and he hands him a book. The concert is stopped, right? The guy takes the book and hands it to his guitar player. It was a Krishna book, and the guitar player starts reading one of the sentences from Krishna book. Then Abhrigapati is not done, as every book distributor knows. I see a conversation, and Harry Chapin is giving a donation to Bhrigupati Das. That's Bhrigupati Das. Gets the book, gets his donation. Mission accomplished. But anyway, you know, he was reading that line. The whole audience heard that one line of Krishna book. They all got purified. So these books are purifying. There's another story I heard a long time ago, that sometimes the devotees in certain parts of South America, there are certain parts of South America, like right here in America, you know, the most popular religions, Christianity, Judaism, right? That's, you know, America is supposedly a Judeo-Christian. But in some places in South America, the national religion is voodoo. Okay? So there are these villages, and the devotees, because Prabhupada said, distribute books everywhere. So some do, okay, we got to go to these voodoo villages. So they would, this is not a lie, this is what the devotees told me, that they would go with the books to these voodoo villages, and as soon as they saw the book, the people would go like this, because it was too bright. There's so, in the voodoo, there's so much in the mode of ignorance, just seeing the bright, like, you know, well, some of like his orange cover, but sometimes it's a very bright color, like the Bhagavatam. It was so bright, they went, oh, no. These books are amazing. So Krishna is saying, pavitram, purifying. As Lord Chaitanya says, sarvatma snapanam. This Krishna consciousness is a bathing of the soul. Like today was a hot day, right? So you, if you get too much sweat, you take a nice bath and you feel refreshed. Ah, right? So this Bhagavad Gita is a bathing of the soul. And if you, as I like to say, become absorbed in Bhagavad Gita, you will feel refreshed. And it will show in your face. You will become refreshed. Let's go on. Idam uttamam. Transcendental. So this also goes back to King of Education. That transcendental means something which is beyond this world. This world that we're dealing with, world of matter, is governed by three modes. In chapter 14, in chapter 17, in chapter 18, Krishna explains a lot about these modes of nature. Everything we see and touch and do is governed, or shall we say, is performed either in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, or a combination. Everything we do is governed by these modes. But this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is above those modes. For instance, this weekend, the big news was the hurricane on the East Coast, right? But the engineers, they take their airplanes and they go above the hurricane. Did you know that? They fly their planes above and they do whatever they do. It's not that it's going to stop it, but they're doing something. But so they're above it. Or here on the, say it's a cloudy day. But if you're in an airplane, the airplane goes high and it goes above the clouds. Oh, it's the sun is shining, right? You've gone above. So although we're in this material world grappling with the modes of nature, if you follow Bhagavad Gita, you'll be above it. You will transcend it. And anyone who's regularly chanting that Maha Mantra, I forgot it. How does it go? Thanks for reminding me. So anyone who's regularly chanting or reading Bhagavad Gita, more and more, you will transcend these modes. And when you're permanently transcended the modes, you're self-realized. And then you can go anywhere, and deliver the fallen conditioned souls. There's a very nice statement in another one of Prabhupada's books, which Vijay can give you, Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion, there's this wonderful paragraph that it says that when you become a pure devotee of Krishna, when you become a self-realized soul, there's a diffusion of love from your heart and it shines. And people can feel that. When we used to see Prabhupada, we got that experience. I remember the first time I saw Prabhupada, I said, "This is great. I have found the modern Jesus. Hallelujah." That was my realization. All my life I had read about Jesus. When I saw Prabhupada, I said, "Oh my God, Jesus is again in Brooklyn, 1973. This is too good." Seeing Prabhupada, that was it. It was done. I got to join this movement. Forget it. Ain't nobody else I'm going to work for. I'm going to work for Prabhupada. Best decision I ever met. Second best decision I ever made, marrying my wife. But that's another story. So, you come to Krishna consciousness, you chant the Maha Mantra, you read Bhagavad Gita, gradually you're transcending. We're not talking about levitation. We're talking about consciousness, your heart, how you feel, how you perceive. You'll actually be above it all. You'll be humble. Not that I'm above it all. And you stick your nose up like this. Yes, I am self-realized. I am the Wizard of Oz. No. You're transcendent, but you're also the most meek and humble. That's the key. Not that you stand, look at me, bow down, sucker. No. You present yourself. There's a nice example by Lord Chaitanya. How you can tell someone who is very spiritually advanced. Lord Chaitanya explains the tree. The tree which has no fruits or flowers, the branches are like this. But a tree that has lots of fruits and flowers, the branches, because they're so full, the branches droop down. So somebody who is full of the fruits of love of God, they present themselves very meek, humble. Whereas others, they do their strut. So, we are all meant to develop these fruits of love of God. And you're doing it just by chanting, being Krishna's devotee, being Krishna's friend, reading Bhagavad Gita. It's a little but gradual process. Cumulative effect. Cumulative. Just like here I am. If you had seen me 40 years ago, you would have thought, him? Nah. Impossible. But this process really, I'm living proof that this process works. Living proof. I got a long way to go, but I definitely see the improvement. Okay, let's continue. Oh, my favorite word in the whole verse. It's a long one. Prayakshavagamam. By direct experience. This is the key. Krishna consciousness is not pie in the sky. Some faiths, movements, cults, they tell you, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, and you got to give up this, and you got to give up this, and twist your body like a pretzel, and do so many things. And then they say, and in your next life or at the end, then you get your reward. That ain't for me. I want it now. So this word, prayakshavagamam, means reciprocation from Krishna is immediate. The first time I ever ate prasad, direct experience. I jumped up, give me more, I got to have more. And the devotee said, got to come back tomorrow. I said, I got to come back. There's no way I can get this food in New York City. They don't have this. That food, that tasting of prasad was so good. So, I've said hundreds of times, Archita can tell you, we've done many high school and college programs together. And we challenge the students when we tell them, you think we're a fool? We're just like you, Americanos. All right? Do you think that we're going to waste 2-3 hours every day chanting some mumbo jumbo and not get something from it? You think that we're fools? No. This Maha Mantra really works. It's scary how it works. Anyone who sincerely chants this Maha Mantra, you will get immediate results if you chant it with some sincerity. Let's all chant one time together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. It's not that you have to wait. Krishna is reciprocating immediately according to how much you surrender. That's also stated in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse 11. Ye yatam mang prapadyante, tangs tataiva vajamyaham, mama vartmanu vartante, manushya paratha sarvasha. As you approach me, Krishna says, and the way Prabhupada explains it, you take 2 steps to Krishna, he takes 10 to you. Pretty good, huh? That's why he's the coolest. He's not cool, he's ice cold. It's just beautiful. The more that you delve into this Krishna consciousness, it's like my friend Urjaswat always says, it's like my mind was hit like a chickpea hit by a baseball bat. My mind is blown, Prabhu. This is Krishna consciousness. Every step you take, it's just amazing. Now the last line. Please repeat. Susukam kartum avyayam. It is, in the actual translation, he says, very happy. In other words, there's no, you know, this is a joyous, happy movement, religion, philosophy, whatever word you, everything. It's happy. There's no negativity. Everything about Krishna consciousness is easy, it's joyful, it's happy. Did you not enjoy the kirtan? Were some of you dancing? Are you not enjoying my talk? At least some of you are. And will you not enjoy the feast that we're... And Naikatma said it's a special feast today. Right? And look, we're worshiping God. How nice. Do they look mean? Do they look like they're unhappy? Look at all the altars. They're all smiling. God smiles. What's your problem? Be happy. Don't worry. Chant japa. So susukam, it's joyfully performed, easily performed. And avyayam, you don't lose. Say you acquire a certain percentage of Krishna consciousness. You never lose that. Unlike your 401k, unlike your social security benefits, which they're trying to take away from you. As I said earlier, don't let them, those rascals, kick them out of office. Unlike that, nobody can touch your spiritual retirement program. Nobody. It's a permanent asset. Prabhupada used to say, for every devotee, there's an account with his name on it or her name on it. And every time you do any devotional service, oh, that child bowed down, oh, mark it down. And all that is accumulating and accumulating and accumulating. And let's say at the end of this life, your bank account has 60 million points in it. In your next life, you get a dividend. You start with 61. Pretty good, huh? And there's, you know, unlike the stock market, you don't lose. It's permanent. Avyam, everlasting. And when your account is fully matured, you're welcome back to Krishna's abode. And what will Krishna say? Oh, I've been missing you. Welcome back. What's your name? Krishna will say, where have you been? Come join us. We've been missing you. Pretty good, huh? Who wants to return and be with Krishna? Dance with him, play with him, eat with him. It's all there. You're on the boat. This movement is a boat. The trick is, don't get kicked off the boat. The seas may get a little choppy. You hang on to the boat. Hang on to the captain of the ship, Prabhupada. Prabhupada's our captain. And he's taking it because Prabhupada said, I don't want to go back to Godhead alone. I want to take as many people with me. So he has created this boat known as ISKCON. You're on it. Okay? Don't get off. Stay on the boat. I'll see you in the spiritual world. Hari Bol. Let's chant one more time. Thank you very much. Let's all go take sumptuous prasad.